Yesterday we started to talk about something that is very relevant when people go on vacation, and that is we find ourselves every so often in a community where they daven a different nusach than we are generally accustomed to davening. So sometimes you go to exotic locations and there's a Chabad house there, and that's the only nusach that they daven is Ari, and we daven nusach Ashkenaz, or sometimes you're in a community where they daven nusach Sfard, or the other way around. And the question is, how should one behave in such a case? Should I continue to daven, again, privately? If I'm davening for the Amud, obviously I need to do whatever the shul's practice is. But the question is, when I'm davening privately, how should I behave, what should be done, and what perhaps should not? So we start with a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. We are all considered to be children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems that the Torah means to say, therefore, because you're children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo sizgodudu v'lo sasimu karcha bein einechem lameis. Make sure that you do not mutilate your body, you do not injure your body, because you are a child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what is the connection there? That's a very good question. And the simple understanding of the pasuk is that you are not allowed to act the way the rest of the Umos HaOlam act. When they have a profound loss in their lives, they injure themselves and they torture themselves. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should not behave like they do, because you are Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. Everything about the Jewish life is different. The way we mourn, the way we grieve is different than the way they mourn and they grieve. And therefore, the Torah says, one should not be involved in such activity. However, the Gemara Maseches Yevamos Daf Yud Dalid very famously learns a secondary interpretation into this pasuk as well. And the Gemara says the word lo sisgodedu means lo sasu agudos agudos. Don't make the Jewish community divergent different factions. Don't allow it to become sectarian, because that will break apart the entire whole of what the Jewish community is really supposed to be about. The Vilna Gaon, I believe, writes in one of his Svarim, not that he wrote, but one of his Talmidim wrote, that he believes that pirud b'minhagim, if you have a split in the way that different people practice, brings to pirud halavavos, the Vilna Gaon writes. We're supposed to be one heart, we're supposed to be of one feeling, and therefore if everybody's going to be going in their own direction, it's going to take away from that understanding that we're supposed to have for one another, and that sensitivity. So the Netziv writes in one of his Svarim as well, that what is the connection here between banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem and lo sasu agudos agudos? Perhaps what it means, says the Netziv, is normally when you have children who grow up in the same home, go to the same schools, have parenting by the same parents, have influence from all the same atmosphere around them, usually they grow up to be somewhere within a range, but mostly along the same path, along the same kind of hashkafa. However, he says, when you have families that are living in two totally different environments, two totally different parts of the world, obviously they raise their children very differently, and the values with which they raise their kids are going to be very different as well. Says the Netziv, what does it mean, lo sasu agudos agudos, don't make the Jewish community into different factions? It's because, banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem, since we are all products of one parent, of one family, therefore we're supposed to come out somewhat the same. And therefore, we shouldn't have many different things that are being done. The reason Rashi explains why we are not supposed to have divergent groups is because nira kenoagim shtei Torahs. It looks like it's two different religions that are being practiced. This one says tachnun every day by davening, and that community never says tachnun because there's always an excuse why you shouldn't. And this one decides that they're going to put on tefillin with a bracha on chalamoid, and that one says we're not going to put on tefillin at all. So this looks like different religions. I don't understand. Are you supposed to put on tefillin today? You're not supposed to put on tefillin. Are you supposed to make a bracha? You're not. And this makes it very, very complicated. And Rashi says, the outsider will look at it and say, this doesn't look like a uniform religion. How can this be? And that's why the Gemara says, lo sasu agudas agudas. And the Rambam says, for a much more practical reason. Says the Rambam, because it's gorim l'machlokes b'Yisrael. If you're going to have one community, you ever go to a shul where they say tachnun or don't say tachnun, people start fighting, start screaming at each other, oh, we should say al-shamnu bagadnu, we shouldn't say it before tachnun, and it breaks out a whole fight. Says the Rambam, because we don't want any sense of discord or contention among the Jewish community, therefore things should be uniform. Because if they're not going to be, that will lead to all kinds of machlokes. So this is actually discussed in the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah talk about when one is allowed to take a haircut during Sfiras HaOmer. As we know, Sfiras HaOmer is a period of 49 days, but we generally are not noeg avelus throughout the whole 49 days. Most people say you keep the first half or you keep the second half. What that's based on is a very good question, not for right now, but the Ramah there says the following. We have a minhag not to take a haircut during Sfira. Which half of Svir do we have that minhag is up for discussion. So says the Rama, if you live in one community where everybody davens in one shul and they all are considered to be a part of one way of thinking, says the Rama, you should not have half of them keeping the first half of Svira and the other half keeping the second half. What's that going to look like? You come into shul and one guy just shaved and took a haircut and the person next to him looks like he's in Avelis. What does it mean? So the Rama says it wouldn't make sense that you should have such divergent minhagim within one small community, because that really wouldn't make sense. Which leads to question why it is that we do what we do today. Why is it that, at least I've noticed, that throughout both halves of Sfira people make weddings and everybody says, no, I hold the second half, I hold the first half, next year I'm keeping this one, this year I'm keeping the other one. And we don't really have a uniform practice in our community, even though we all daven in the same shul and we all follow the same sukkim. So it would seem very strange, and that's exactly what the Rama says is not supposed to happen. My father told me when he grew up, this is not the way it was. He said when he grew up, it was one half of Sfira that most of the Litvaks kept, and that's what everybody kept to. There was no such thing as a wedding during that half of Sfira, and nobody would do that. Anyway, the question then becomes, how does this trickle down to tefillah? So we have this principle in general. We have this concept of losasu agudas that applies universally to many different practices, many different halachos. And the question is, what do we do about shul? What do we do about tefillah? And that is a very important question. The Paas HaShulchan, who was from Beis Midrasho of the Vilna Gaon, had a problem. The Paas HaShulchan is a set of svarim that was written about mitzvahs hateluyas ba'aretz. Because, as we know, the Vilna Gaon was a very strong and avid supporter of the Aliyah movement. Question is why he himself didn't move, why was it only his Talmidim? Very good question, historical question, but there were some Talmidim who successfully made it to Eretz Yisrael. One of them was Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, another one was Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mishklov, both from the same city. They weren't in the same family, but they were both from Shklov. They both moved to Eretz Yisrael, and one of them had this idea that we have a problem, because now we move to Eretz Yisrael, and nobody knows how to live in Eretz Yisrael. How are we supposed to know about Trumas and Maestras and all the mitzvahs hateluyas baretz that we've never observed in Chutz Laretz? And he took it upon himself that he was going to write a set of svarim regarding all of the halachas that they needed to know. In the midst of that set of svarim, he has a discussion about something that is not relevant necessarily to mitzvahs hateluyas baretz, but he says, what did we do when we came to Yerushalayim? Until that point, there were only Svardim living in Yerushalayim. Now, they were the first Ashkenazic Jews that came en masse, that came in big numbers to Yerushalayim. And he said, we weren't sure what to do. Are we supposed to now switch over to Daven Nusach Svard? Or should we continue on with our tradition from the Vilna Gaon and Daven Nusach Ashkenaz? So the Paas HaShulchan writes the following, B'Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. When we came to Yerushalayim, Noagim, Kihilos, Kedoshos, Ashkenaz, all of those communities of Ashkenaz had the practice that they continued to daven Nusach Ashkenaz in their own shuls, Gam Shebeis HaKnesses Shelahem, Bein Beis HaKnesses Shel HaSvardim, even though their shul is amongst 20 different shuls that are all Svardim, and you are totally outnumbered, and you're living in a very small community in Yerushalayim. What gives you the right to open up a shul that's going to daven Nusach Ashkenaz? Says the Paas HaShulchan, it makes sense. It makes sense to do that, and that is what they did. Aval, he says, however, b'nei adam yechidim ashkenazim, when you have somebody who's trying to catch a mincha, and he can't make it to the Ashkenazi shul, and he has to daven by the Svardi shul that's next door, or the Svardi shul down the block, when you daven with them, he says, aser lahem l'shanas minusach hatzibur, writes the Paas HaShulchan. The fact that we opened up our own shul and we daven our own nusach, that's okay, because we're one community, they're another community. But when I'm going to daven in their shul, I have to adapt to whatever their minhag is, and I must go along with whatever the nusach hatfila is in that shul. The Chasam Sofer disagreed with this, and the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva that it's very well known that he had two very famous rabbeim, Rabbi Nosson Adler and the Hafla, two great tzaddikim. In fact, the Chasam Sofer in one place gives a beautiful description about one of them was a Kohen and one of them was a Levi. I think Rav Nosson Adler was the Kohen, the Hafla was the Levi. So he writes how on Yom Tov he used to watch how the Kohen, Hagadol, Me'echav, used to go and have his hands watched by the greatest Levi that he's ever met. And it was a beautiful scene. So he has these two great Rabbeim. And the Chasam Sofer writes, I will tell you, just from personal experience, I watched my Rabbeim very carefully, and they always daven Nusach Svard, and we lived in Germany, and everybody there was davening Nusach Ashkenaz, and writes the Chasam Sofer, they never changed. They always showed up with their Svard Siddur, and they always daven normally, because they were davening to themselves. And the Chasam Sofer says, I don't see anything wrong with that. What's the problem? You're not bothering anyone, you're doing your own thing, minding your own business, you're not davening for the Yamad against what the shul's general minhag is, and therefore the Chasam Sofer writes that is what they did. So, Chasam Sofer then had a student by the name of the Maharam Shik, who also was one of the fierce defenders against the reform movement that was on the rise at the time. So the Maharam Shik has many tshuvas trying to defend many of the minhagim that were trying to be brought into question at the time. So the Maharam Shik has a tshuva. He says, I know that my Rebbe the Chasam Sofer wrote that the Hafla and Hermnasan Adler used to daven their own nusach when they came to the shul. And even though they daven Svard and the shul daven Ashkenaz, they didn't see a problem. Says the Maharam Shik, I'll tell you why. Because Nusach Svard, if all the Ashkenazim in the room knew how Halig Nusach Svard was, they all would have changed their minds to daven with them. Everybody in the shul were Amaratzim. They had no idea that Nusach Svard really is the real McCoy, and there's so many Kavanas that are behind all the words in Nusach Svard. And therefore the Maharam Shik writes, that's why they didn't feel uncomfortable doing differently than the Tzibur, because the Tzibur was doing wrong. The Tzibur was doing Ashkenaz. If everybody in the Tzibur would have understood what Nusach Svard is all about, everybody would have went along with them. And that's why they didn't feel uncomfortable doing what they did. So he's reading a lot into the words of the Chasam Sofer. It's not at all what the Chasam Sofer himself says, but that's the way he understood it, and that's what he writes. So the question then becomes, what are we supposed to do? So this is a very important question. The Netziv, among many other Achronim, has an important shuva about this issue. And the Netziv writes, I understand that it's true. The Chasam Sofer is correct. If you're going to daven privately, and you're not going to bother anyone else, and you're just going to sit silently and daven to yourself, obviously you have a right to daven tefilas lachash with your own nusach of Shmona Esrei. So everybody's davening Ashkenaz, and you want to say, Ava Rachaman Shema Koleinu, go ahead, it's your Shmona Esrei, it's your discussion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, writes the Netziv, when we come to Kedusha, and the shul is going to start saying Keser, and you're going to start sticking with your Naritzcha and Agdishcha because you don't go with Nusach Svard, or in the other way around, then he says, that's going to become complicated. And once you're saying things out loud, there writes the Netziv, that would not be something that we would advise, because that is losasu agudos agudos. Now it's becoming pronounced that different people in the shul are following different practices, and that is something that he felt was inappropriate. Similarly, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, when it comes to Psuke de Zimra, so we know that Nusach Svard has a very different order in Psuke de Zimra. Nusach Ashkenaz starts with Baruch Sha'amar. Nusach Svard says Baruch Sha'amar afterward. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva that he feels that in Psuke de Zimra also one should go along with whatever the tzibur is doing. Why? Number one, he says, because there are going to be times, let's say Nusach Svard does Hashem Melech, I think, and they stand up at different places and they sit down at different places. So he says, that's going to look very strange that you're sitting down, they're all standing up, and that's something that is not uniform. Aside from that, Rav Moshe says, there are people who daven Psuke de Zimra out loud. They don't say it silently to themselves. Tfilas lachash, when you daven Shmona Esrei, you say it to yourself. You're supposed to say it to yourself. When it comes to Psuke de Zimra, very often you hear people who say it out loud. And therefore, he says, if it's something that you're going to be saying out loud, it wouldn't be appropriate to say something out loud that is against whatever the Tzibur is saying. Rav Moshe then has a very interesting tshuva as well, where he discusses, what about when it comes to Tachnun? Now, Tachnun is one of those places in davening where you're going to have a major discrepancy, especially on Monday and Thursday. Because Monday and Thursday, Nusach Ashkenaz says V'hu Rachum first, and then they say the Tachnun. In Nusach Svard, they say, they first do Nefilas Apayim, and only afterward do they say V'hu Rachum. So there, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it would be something that you have to be careful about. And even leaving that aside, Rav Moshe says, what about every day that somebody who davens Nusach Svard says, Ashamnu Bagadnu? Meanwhile, you're standing up, banging your chest, while everybody else is Nefilas Apayim. Rav Moshe says, no. Dafke below Shum Hakeira La Achrini Shehu below Haka Belev. You want to say, Ashamnu Bagadnu, take an extra few seconds to do your own tefillah, your own bakasha that no one else is saying, maybe we can okay that. However, says Rav Moshe, if you're going to sit there and start banging at your chest, everybody sees that nobody else in the room is doing that. And therefore, Rav Moshe felt that would not be the appropriate thing to do. Then Rav Moshe was asked to shaila by Rav David Cohn from Flatbush. And at the time, I assume Rav David Cohn was, obviously he was much younger than he is, but he was probably just a young married man. And Rav David Cohn wrote to Rav Moshe, and then he argued, not in a disrespectful way, he argued in halacha with Rav Moshe about the details of this point, and he said, so what happens? I daven Nusach Svard, let's say. I'm davening in a shul that's Nusach Ashkenaz. And I'm an Avil. Rachmana Litzlan, I'm an Avil. And I have to daven for the Yamut. So obviously I'm going to follow the minhagim of the shul. I have no right to go against it. But what about in my own private Shemona Esrei? What do I do then? So Rav Moshe builds a whole argument, which Rav David Cohen was not 100% in favor of. But Rav Moshe builds a whole argument to say that if you look at the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it would seem that what is the objective? Why do we have a private Shmona Esrei when we're about to say the whole Shmona Esrei again out loud? What's the point? We say the same words twice in a row. So Rav Moshe learns from the Gemara, which again is what Rav David Cohen questioned in Rav Moshe's understanding of the Gemara. Rav Moshe Feinstein said that the Gemara means to teach us that the whole point of the Quiet Shemona Esrei is just so that the Chazan should have the opportunity to know the words of Shemona Esrei and to say them properly when it comes time for the Chazaras Hashatz. Fascinating. And therefore, said Rav Moshe, if you are the Chazan, it wouldn't make sense that you should say one Nusach in your private Shemona Esrei and switch to a different Nusach for the Chazaras Hashatz. After all, the whole reason why you say a quiet Shemona Esrei when you serve as the Chazan is only that you should have Shagar B'fiv, is only that you should know how to say the words when it comes time for the Chazaras Hashatz, but you're not going to know how to say the words because you didn't practice. You said it in a different Nusach. And therefore, Rav Moshe argues that it would make sense if somebody has to daven for the Yamud and they daven a different Nusach, he says they should daven not only the Chazaras Hashatz, kefi the Nusach of the Shul, but even the quiet Shemona Esrei, they should daven based on the Nusach of the Shul as well. One final place where this really plays out is, let's say, for example, there are many people who have the Minag not to say Baruch Hashem Li'olam, Amen V'Amen, and Ma'ariv. So, what's the difference? You'll say, well, you don't say it, and I do say it, so what does it matter if you're davening for the Yamud? Well, the problem is, I hold it's a Bracha Levatela. You hold it's part of davening. So if I'm the Chazan, how am I going to make a Bracha Levatela? Or if you have a Svardi. We know that Svardim follow the Psaka of the Mechaber, that on Rosh Chodesh, they don't make a Bracha on Hallel, because it's only a Minhag, and there's no Bracha on Minhagim, and Minhag Ashkenaz is that we do make a Bracha on Hallel on Rosh Chodesh as well. So the question is, what if a Svardi is davening for the Yamud, and he has to follow his minhag, which is not to say a bracha, but he's davening for the Yamud and Ashkenazi shul. That's the only option he has. What's he supposed to do? Is that a bracha levatela for him to do something that according to his minhag is an absolute bracha levatela? What's he supposed to do? So this is something that is discussed by Rav Moshe as well, but it goes way beyond the discussion of Rav Moshe. It really comes, the Chidah and the Birka Yosef talks about it as well. They bring a raya from a fascinating Gemara Maseches Pesachim, that it would seem if you're making a bracha because the tzibur that you are now with believes that that's a bracha that's supposed to be made, that would not be considered a bracha levatela. It's a mefurish gemara in Maseches Pesachim based on the story that's told there. But from there, Rav Moshe proves that if I'm davening for the Yamud and I generally do not make a bracha on Hallel, or I generally do not say Baruch Hashem Li'olam Amen V'Amen, but now I'm davening a shul where they do, that would not be a bracha levatela for me to do it because I'm simply following the minhag of the shul that I'm davening in. Even though my general personal minhag is not to do so, but because this is the accepted practice of the community that I'm in, and they're relying on a very reliable source, they're following the Mechaber, I'm following the Ramah, that would not be a problem, that would not be considered a bracha levatela at all.